Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. I welcome Marianna Janssen to the show, a most gifted artist. She's a painter, a sculptor, an art teacher that was something to do with theater as well. And reading through a few of the articles, I realized all these workshops, and she's exhibited in the most amazing places. So welcome, Marianne. Can you please maybe tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Well, who I am an artist, you already told that. And I'm a very creative person. And from a young age, I wanted to be an artist. And yes, I started to be an artist, working on it. And why I became an artist is just a way of expressing yourself, something which is very close to you. Wanted to make things all, anything what you see, what we hear, what we can touch. I want to make that touchable, to see and to grab, to fix things we see passing by. And when you can make a story of that, when you can make a picture or so people can look at it because it was so beautiful anyway for me, that would be very nice to make something of it. So it's a passion of me, and I started it from the early age of 16 because that I thought I want. Yes.
You're Dutch? Are you over 50?
Yes, I am.
Over 50 as well, and an artist since you were 16, right? We're going to get into that. How wonderful that there's something that you wanted to do from the age of 16 and then basically continued on that path, maybe through different forms. But to get to the topic of today, so today we're talking about creativity as an unstoppable process. Now, maybe I would first ask you the question, what do you see as creativity?
Creativity is a very, very big area. What I see as creativity is not only art. It's what people, when people organize things, when people are architects, and all those kind of people are, I think everybody is creative. Everybody is creative. So creation is something it's nothing to do about copying. It's something to what you make, which comes into your mind, and you're you're creating something of a lot of different things, different areas, different objects or jobs. Whatever you create is authentic. It must be yours. That's creativity.
So is it in a way then releasing something which is inside, in whichever form that takes? It's creating something which is maybe stimulated from the outside. Let's say you see a beautiful sunset, and then inside that means something to you, that makes a creation, and you want to bring it, what you're feeling looking at that sunset, you want to bring it to the outside so that other people can see it. So whether that's through a photo or through a painting, is that what you would say creativity is? It's releasing something inside, which is maybe generated from the outside.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe you also get to the point, maybe it's generated by the outside, because everything you see is also coming from the inside, you're interpreting. And of course, me being in this job, in being an artist, a visual artist, I'm very much trained in my whole life, seeing, hearing things. If you first make a portrait of somebody, when you're not trained, it's very difficult for you. But when I'm trained, I don't need any more to think about the proportions, or I just know what I feel, what I want, I sense what I want to express, and I can do it. The week before and the week therefore, I was in an exhibition, a solo exhibition, and explained to people the drawings I made. It was from Maria Magdalena, and which I'm inspired by, because it's a woman who's never been acknowledged as what she really was. And people thought, how are you making these drawings? Do you have a model? And I said, no, I don't. I had some old pictures, and I used these old pictures by the posture, by the hands, how is she bending, how is she dancing? And then I start, and then the visualization of the person comes to me, to us, very much, well, in tuned into the...
But what I also heard you saying is that, so then indeed, there's something inside, so you feel it, right? You sense it, you see it in your mind, and through the tools that you've acquired, because you have a master's, don't you, in art, and you've obviously been studying this through the various forms that you do since the age of 16. But what I heard you say as well was actually very good is that, you know, okay, you might feel something, see something, and want to create it, but without the tools, right, that then your creativity is blocked by, oh my gosh, that face doesn't look anything like how I see it in my head. It looks like something a two-year-old would do. So that you do need the tools. Right. I mean, the point also for us today is, you know, we're talking about a 50 plus audience. We're talking about being all that we can be. And that I think for lots of us, creativity is something that, yes, we know we are creative. And as you say, we're all creative in our own way. We create a home, we create meals, we create, you know, the fashion that we wear, or, you know, our style. I mean, we create all the time. But if we're talking about, you know, visual art, etc., I mean, you teach, don't you? You teach and you give mm-hmm. workshops. So what would you say your mission is?
My mission, it's time to be an artist. It's very important to find your own language. My mission is to show people that they're unique, that all the things they do are very authentic. Of course, you need techniques. Without techniques, you can't play the piano, or you can't write, or whatever. Techniques is very important, tools to express yourself. And then comes the step to express yourself as a person, as how you see the world, what you want to express. And I know I've got a talent in that. I know. Everybody is creative, and I can make people creative in that way, give them the trust to show what they can do. People want to teach, think they can't do a lot of things, or they're ashamed of what they're making and drawing or painting or whatever, or making sculptures. I say, no, look, they have to look at their own work to make a reflection of what they can do. I show them what they made. I let them look through other eyes. And in that way, besides the techniques, I develop their vision, their capability of making visual forms, visual art, if you like. And it's very, it's important because, and also I experience that a lot of people are afraid of, very uncertain and afraid to show what they think or what they, or to be stupid or, and there's no stupidity at all in this work. It's only when people are creating something, which is one of the first things, is beside of food and having language and whatever, it's a necessity. It's a very core of what you are.
Right. And I think if we're talking about people feeling frustrated or miserable, I think to me, when I saw your topic, I thought that's something, well, first of all, lots of us don't know in which area, we don't know where to start. But I have the feeling that it's something which really, especially after 50, when maybe we're a little bit more reflective and when we're looking at, you know, are we being all of who we are? Where can we find more balance? Which areas of ourselves have we not yet explored, and what would we have there to give? You know, whether it's not about becoming the next Picasso, it can be just finding that feeling of contentment, of managing to express yourself in that way. So when you say visual artist, Marianne, so you paint, you sculpt?
Yes, I sculpt, I paint, I draw. You tell about sculpting. I've done everything, working in iron, working in metals, in stone, in wood. But when I want to work, I want to have more products, I have to work in clay. Because, yes, you have to make two casts also then, and make structures or armatures. It's also very tactile. You have to work hard. As one thing, when you want to be creative, you have to work hard too. But you have a passion and an energy. And when you call, the last exhibition was drawing, and now I have to make sculptures again. And then I make sculptures in clay, because the clay is a very sensitive material. It's like drawing. You can draw in a drawing. When you have pencil, you make a drawing. But when you have clay in your hands, and when you have the structure, you also make a drawing in space. I can say that, drawing space, and all your senses, all your sensibilities are coming in the clay.
It attracts me very much. I just love that idea. Right. So, I mean, you've exhibited in the most incredible places. What would you say is the most incredible place you exhibited?
Oh, yes, of course. I was in Venice, in the Palazzo Franchetti, and also in Florence, in a place where Donatello and Michelangelo have made the stairs. And I don't know,
people find their way. And what I heard you say as well is you also give them the courage and the confidence to be proud of what they've got and to see it not through, oh, it doesn't look like it felt inside, but to say what you can see and teach them the techniques in, and the confidence, I would say, to work on it and to continue, etc. How do people discover what they should try? I mean, would you suggest that everybody should try first with things like painting or sculpting? How do we know which is the best outlet for our creativity?
Well, you want to be the visual world, visual art, I would say just start somewhere. I can see what's your quality. Everybody has qualities in every area, but of course it's so you have more talent or more feeling for one area than the other. So just say start with drawing or painting and you find out. You find out what's best with you.
If we're inspiring the members around us to give it a try, what would you say they will gain from it personally?
Personally, it's of course the first thing is to be very, you get inspired of what you can see. You get, first of all, you get trust, you get inspiration of, wow, I can draw, I can, and I show them if it's not realistic, what is, because maybe the colors are very nice, maybe the movement, the composition, there's so many areas which can be inspiring. And the first thing is, of course, the trust and the passion you get. When you see, when I give a workshop in a week somewhere else in a foreign country, and it's so 2 weeks or 1 week, and then people start and they mix the sculpting and then the drawing, the painting, and people go from one art to the other art because they think, I want to sculpt too. But when I realize they have a whole day of teaching or an afternoon going doing their own work, I will also see their work, and I educate them there too. And in the evening, they just go on. And that's the
right.
After their work, a glass of wine and then talking to each other and seeing each other's work. And it's an ongoing process. It's not stoppable. It's unstoppable.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, it's never too late as well. You know, if you haven't yet unleashed or tried painting or sculpting, etc., you know, 50 is certainly not too late to start. And as you say, it goes on forever. You know, even when you have studied all the techniques and are already an acclaimed artist like you are, it's unstoppable. It goes on, and you might still discover a new form or a new, you know, way of creating yourself that you haven't yet discovered. And so you actually do, I remember I actually saw last time I met you, you actually do retreats in wonderful places. Where you have a retreat planned coming soon, right?
Yeah, it's October. It will be in Sardinia.
In Sardinia.
And I found this place 2 years ago, and I've just worked there for a week now, and it's such a wonderful place. Because also I know when you are teaching somewhere, the place where the people live must be very exquisite. It must be good.
Yeah, because it's going to inspire you as well, right?
And people find are comfortable when they feel okay, they feel nice, fine, and don't have to worry about anything. They can concentrate on their work, on their holiday. It must be very, very nice.
And this is for painting, for sculpting, for everything?
This one is for drawing and painting.
Drawing.
Organizing the sculpting thing is sculpting work is a little more difficult because I do have to find a place there where I can buy stones or it's a little bit different and harder to organize. But maybe in future, I never know. You never know.
And so this is for beginners or for people who have already been painting or drawing from?
I have beginners and also, and not beginners, only beginners, but also advanced people, because also I teach people who are colleagues, because we all can learn from each other, of artists. And the beautiful thing about art is you always have to start over and over again. When you just go with your experience and only use your experience, and you get at a level, you don't get further. Okay, you don't get further. And when a person is just starting, you are so much open, and that's the first starting point, which is really the best starting point there is, because you have to be open to what you see and not to know already what you've seen.
Yes, exactly. Already think you know it all and have done it all, etc. But I mean, isn't it a problem knowing when to stop? I mean, I'm not a visual artist. I would love to be. I've always loved photography, for example. I do a lot of that as well, but not professionally or anything. And I think sculpting would probably be something for me. And I'm very tactile. I love touching things. I have just around me here, I have tons of stones and I just hold them. I've got rough ones, soft ones. I've got a whole pot full of them. Some are very rough that I've picked up from Chile. Some are smooth from the sea, and I love touching them all the time. But anyway, but I'm, if I compare it to what I do, which is writing, I find it so hard to know when to stop. You know, people say, okay, look, sure, I'm sure my text is good enough now. Let me see what you've done. And they're like, wow, that is fantastic. I'm like, yeah, but there's something not, you know, that last sentence isn't just right. How do you know when to stop? Because it is an unstoppable process. You could continue your drawing forever.
Yeah, in a way you can develop that too. Then you can have a feeling of now I have to stop. And for me, it's something like, maybe I can example to talk about my drawings. They're very direct. When I, it's one drawing, I made for the exhibition 13 drawings. They all were fine and you can't erase it. Every line is there and you can't erase it anymore. Right. So, and you have to stop that because it's finished, otherwise you destroy it. So you can have deadlines, or you can say, oh, this is, I just have this certain amount of time, of this is material and it mustn't, the painting can't be bigger than this. And one thing for visual art is very good things to make pictures of it. So, and wait for one day and see it. Yeah. And then you can, and of course, I did a lot of things. Like, my God, I destroyed it. How can I get it back? And I was so lucky to talk a little bit about my work in writing. And I said, I can write. I can do that.
Right.
Everything later. But then again, somebody, the last article isn't just edited, but okay, somebody looked at it and then said, no, this is not good. This thing has to change. This has to change. And then, so going any material, I think you have to go by your experience. And then you can see, then you know, I have to stop here or I have to go on. Yeah. You can go on forever, but you know I have to stop now, because when I go on, I will make it little, not better anyway. Yeah.
Right. Now, well, I'd like some tips. So, I mean, I know you have some tips ready for us about those who are already, you know, creating something in the visual arts. But can I start with asking you, so say people who are listening to us who have not yet really tried anything artistic like that. You know, we're talking about visual arts with you, obviously. So who haven't yet even tried drawing, painting, sculpting, etc. Where do you start?
Yes, I'm a start. I think most in a different way than other people do, than other teachers do. I just say, just start. I want to see what you make. And right. Then, because I have so much experience of people who say, I want to make what you make. I say, it's possible. It's impossible. And I don't want it. I don't want, yes. I want you to make your thing. And then starting when people don't have any experience, I start with very basic exercises like making lines, making colors, and then from that part on, I let them making more forms, more colors, and let them show that a drawing and a painting and a sculpting are related. Okay. You need a lot of drawings to make a painting or a sculpting, or that your sculpting will influence your painting. And when I teach, it will be at first the exercises, of course, when it's necessary. And then everyone has a personal program. Nothing is the same. It's not what I go to bed. Well, I have a schedule, but when I start, every person has its individual.
Right. And yeah, because we're all different, right, aren't we? I mean, our way of learning is different. Our way of, you know, what we express and what we don't express. Motor skills as well, I suppose, are also different per people. Mm-hmm. So that makes total sense to me. I have the feeling this must be something extremely liberating and sort of, you know, I'm talking about becoming whole, something which makes you really feel complete, because it is a huge part of who we are, which lots of us who haven't recognized the gift or haven't discovered it or who've been perhaps a little bit scared to even try it. I mean, I know for sure that drawing is not my thing. I did, when I lived in Africa, I did do a course just because I was curious and everybody else was sitting around drawing things. And I thought, oh, it must be so nice. And he was a wonderful teacher, and we laughed a lot, but by the end of it, you know, he did sort of say, you know, maybe you could try something else, because I mean, and he wasn't mean in any way, absolutely not, but it was definitely not, and I was not as patient as everybody else, and you know, I like the big gestures and the bold colors, and but then I would ruin it all by not wanting to stop and then doing something on top of it which then messed it up or whatsoever. But It's dare and try. And I mean, I dare say, so drawing is probably one of the first ones to try, because you don't need to go out and already buy, you know, a whole bunch of paints and aquarelles and brushes or whatever it is that you're doing. So, okay, so it's to just try different things like that and see. Now, the three tips that you have for artists out there, or for artists, for people who have started dabbling left, right and center, what would you say are the main tips that you would give them?
Yeah, well, it's when you have to know when you begin and when you enter the process of getting to work, when you work done. So, you know, you have a little bit to be prepared. Okay, when you start, you're going to in a bubble. I know that I call that a bubble. It's an area which you create for yourself. But, you know, it's not doing in between something. Maybe I can do it. But when you start, don't do things in between. Just
no, because you have to really dedicate a certain time to it. Not between the doing the dishes and while the kettle's boiling, go and put a few lines on your picture.
No, and when you are really dedicated, you are concentrated to start a process, you have to doing it step by step. Don't experience it. Don't think about yourself that you have to be a Rembrandt. You don't have to be a Rembrandt. You don't have to be Leonardo da Vinci. And I always say that these people, that's their work, and they have learned it from a very young age. Learned it step by step. And when you got a lot of talent, you will fly high.
Go faster, but you still need to go through the steps.
Yes. And when you structure and build up your experience carefully, you will have more experience, more and more experience. And the more experience you have, the more you can express you. It's all about also a technique, also experience. I can compare maybe playing the piano. When you don't learn to play the notes, to know what the piano is, you never will play. Or dancer, when you know everything, then you get start to create.
You need to have some tools in order to know, you know, because of course, it's like, you know, how can you write if you don't know the letters? You have to start with knowing the letters and then how you put them together, then how a sentence is constructed. Then maybe you need to know how to hold a pen or you know, use a computer. So you need the tools. So basically, there's not much point starting with us, you know, whether people go on a course, you know, like with you or on a retreat, or, you know, look up for something online or buy a book on how to start a drawing or whatsoever. You do need to get some technique from somewhere, right?
Yeah, and at first I want really also say, because don't think you can learn a lot about in books, but when people think, oh, I do have to do this in that way, I do have to do this in that way. But when you have a teacher, it's in real life. Real life, I can really give you the things I have experienced. I can sense the energy. I can give you the energy. It will be, that is what painting or drawing or whatever artistic work is being in real life, being really transmitting your thoughts or your feelings or your qualities, developing that. And that's about a real work and not from a book and not from the television or not from whatever. And it's not, sometimes you see all those things on internet or reels, and I think it's very nice, but it's not the work. It's a nice example, but it's not how you will work. Work is very individual and it's very authentic and very admiring. I admire work. It's not the outside. You can be so much experienced and make a very intellectual work, and another person make maybe something which is. I just also teach a person who had a very, very perfect vision, but she made from a model a piece of clay, a little model, and it was so nice, so beautiful. Nobody, you don't have to be experienced to do these things. So please keep your authenticity, your experiences, because for you be protected. And also, of course, I have to say, these works are also reflecting on yourself, so you will be confronted with yourself.
Yes, I suppose you do. Yeah, but that's okay. So the courses that you give, because I mean, my audience is all over the world. The workshops that you give are mostly in the Netherlands.
Yes, the workshop is in the Netherlands, but now I started to in Italy, and before I was in Europe. But I I think I do want to give workshops in Sardinia now and develop it going also to Florence. There will also be a workshop, not this year, but next year. And then I will have a lot of time for myself to make my own work, because also I get older. And of course, I teach a lot to earn my money. But I have to, people also said to me, you have to work more for yourself.
Yes, because that's why you're an artist in the first place. I mean, you're using what you have for you in order to make a living as well on the side, and because you want to inspire other people to do the same. But still, the core of the matter, the reason you did all of this, is because you are an artist and you need to develop and create. Marianne, thank you very much for this. So how can people get hold of you?
Yes, I have a website, and it's in Dutch. It's called www.debeeltenis.nl.
We'll write it in the notes. Yeah. And if you don't have a section in English, maybe we could together make a little section in English just for people who wanted some guidance. Do you also give online guidance? Say if people just want to ask some questions and all of that over the internet. So not particularly drawing, but you know where to start, how to start it.
Yeah, I can start with that. I didn't do it that. I didn't have time for that, and find the possibilities to teach online. As I already said, it's something different, which I like to teach in life.
Yes.
But it's possible. I have to organize that. And when I have a group of people, I will start that. That's nice.
Just like a question hour or something, people pay us some money and have, you know, can ask you questions about who, what, etc. And please, in the show notes, let's also put that lovely retreat in Sardinia, because that sounds like something that might interest a lot of people.
Interesting. It's from 6th October to 21 of October, and it's in this year. So
1st of October. Okay, we'll make sure we put all of that there. You never know, this might be where I discover sculpts. Who knows? Marianne, thank you very much. I know you are just about to rush off to a Global Women Summit in London. So on behalf of all of those, we'll have the chance to listen to you there. Well done. You know, thank you for inspiring us all to unleash our creativity, and that this process is unstoppable, and lucky us on having that. So thank you, Marianne. Bon voyage to London, and all the very, very best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Now, for the rest of you out there, I hope this has inspired you to give it a try. If you, like me, have never really thought about trying visual art, I believe there is something very, very fulfilling and liberating in trying this, whether it's painting or drawing or sculpting. Maybe you want to join me with Marianne in Sardinia from the 16th to the 21st of October, or just look up online what Marianne does. Be inspired by, first of all that she has done. And let's start. Bye, everyone. Speak to you again this time next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.